Back in the time when Paul was living, it was very common for people, those in authority, to give letters that suggested or made proposals for steps of action for others to take. There was an offering that was being taken for the followers of Christ in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians. It was about a year prior to Paul writing this letter to the Corinthians that they were ready. They had readiness and eagerness to participate in giving to these followers. But at that point, there had been no follow-through in giving to them. A year has gone by, and they had promised this large amount of money that they were going to give. There was an issue underlying what they were saying publicly. They were planning to raise a huge amount of money, but were planning to keep some of the funds for themselves. This would be natural for non-believers, but selfishness and pride had entered into the hearts in the situation, and it was detrimental effect on their giving, to the point where they didn't collect any money for a whole year. The last two Sundays, we've heard what Paul had to say about giving generously and giving with integrity. The Macedonian churches located in Greece were largely made up of Gentiles who became followers of Christ. Paul was focusing on the willing hearts of these believers who gave to their Jewish Christian brothers and sisters that are in Jerusalem. Before we move on to looking at what Paul has to say for us today, let's just take a moment to pray. Father, thank you for these lessons on giving. And it's a part of our worship. It's a part of, as we look at us, our heart, and who we are, but more so looking, though, at you and all you do for us. And I pray, Father, during this time, you would challenge us, you would encourage us, and may we draw closer to you in our walk with you. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and now chapter 9, some truths to the matter of giving are made clear. We, those of us who are Christ's followers, should give generously and sacrificially to the Lord's work. We should give to those who are in need. We need to keep our commitments to give and to give with a cheerful heart rather than being forced to give. This is exactly what Jesus confronted the Pharisees with, who were Jewish leaders at that time. They were legalists and they were hypocrites. In Luke 11:42, Jesus said to them, "What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." A tithe, if you didn't know, is a tenth part of one's yearly income set aside for the Lord's work. Jesus doesn't condemn tithing, but points out the heart issue. Giving is an act of worship to God. We are to tithe, but just like the Pharisees, we should not overlook the more significant, and that is the heart matter. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. The Pharisees failed to show the love of God to others, and they failed to love God. External appearance of actions and righteousness was more important to them than the heart of God. Out of loving God, holding nothing back, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, there comes the heart of a willingness to give that is totally different than non-believers, those who don't have faith in Christ Jesus as their Savior. Paul talks about the heart of the Corinthians in the beginning of the section of chapter 9. In verses 1 through 5, Paul uses phrases to describe them. "I know your readiness, your eagerness to help. It was your enthusiasm." This shows a group of people who were wanting to give willingly a year ago, and Paul reminds them of that. He says in verse 5, "So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you had promised is ready. But I wanted to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly." We see the Corinthians had a willing heart to give to those in need. Their example excited others to want to give to this cause. Paul wanted them to be prepared and to give out a true motive. And he didn't want them to give out of compulsion or out of pressure or out of guilt. There's something that happens when one gives willingly to the Lord and his work. Paul gives us an example in verse 6. Look with me at verse 6. Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Paul gives an illustration of a farmer who's planting seeds. One farmer holds back and only plants a very small amount of seeds. The other farmer does the complete opposite and plants a generous amount of seeds. To be generous, there has to be a willing heart. A willing heart shows a readiness to give and an abundance of something, especially money, more than expected. This is Paul's main point in his letter to the Corinthians. He isn't saying that if we give willingly, that it will result for us earthly and material prosperity, nor is he saying all our problems will be eliminated. There are some false teachings out there that say if we give in that way, we will have all the material things we will need or want, and all will be going our way in life. There's something to say, though, about the heart of a giver. A cheap giver equals a cheap receiver, and a willing and generous giver equals a generous receiver. Do we give God our best? Do we have a willing heart to give to our Lord? Giving to our Lord isn't after we pay all the bills and have money left over. Do we really want to give God our leftovers? God wants our first fruits. Again, that is a heart issue, where we should give to God first and put God first in our lives, including our finances. As Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. It is amazing that the condition of our heart is seen through our willingness or not willingness to give to the Lord. Is our focus on things of God, his ministry, and others in need, or is our focus on things of this world, things that will pass away? God's love and his word will be what lasts for eternity. We can get ourselves into financial crisis by failing to recognize that God is the owner of everything, and we are simply the managers of what he gives to us. Through our stewardship, our resources should be used in a manner that honors God. We need to obey God in every area of our lives, including our finances. If we have a willing and generous heart for sincere gospel motives, God blesses us. As David said in Psalm 73:25-26, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portions forever. David illustrated this in his life. David wanted to build the temple of God, but was told by God that he could not build it. He was given the plans by God, but he would never see it while he was alive. David wanted to do what he could to prepare the building of the place where people were going to worship God. David gathered all the people together of Israel, and he told them that his son Solomon would be the one that is chosen by God to be the next king. He shared about the huge job of building the temple. He explained the temple was a place to worship God. As king of Israel, David had much wealth and treasure. He wanted to do his part in giving to the work of building God's temple. And what does David do? Get this, he gives his own gold and silver and bronze, iron and wood, the materials that were needed for the building of God's temple. On top of that, David gave jewels and colorful stones and fine stone and marble in large amounts. David didn't hold anything back. He gave willingly from his own personal wealth. David's giving stirred up the hearts of the people of Israel so much that the leaders of families, officers, commanders of the army, and other officials gave willingly materials to build God's temple. In 1 Chronicles 29:7-8, it is recorded that all that they gave, they gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord. The willingness of David and the leaders of Israel had an effect on all the people of Israel. As a whole assembly, they praised God, saying this: "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." God used David as God used the Corinthians. Back in verse 2, we read of how the Corinthians' enthusiasm stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving to the Christian brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. These accounts are exciting history recorded for us. We see people willingly giving their possessions to God. Those who gave didn't hold anything back from God's work. As Tony Evans says, "Blessing are the God-given capacity to experience, enjoy, and extend the goodness and favor of God in your life. Regardless of what God provides to you, He will bless you with His presence and the ability to use what He provides." God had blessed David with many good things. God had blessed the Corinthians with good things. And look around. Think about us. God has blessed each one of us with many good things in our lives. What is our heart towards giving with all that we are blessed with from God? All giving should be done willingly. Look at verse 7 with me. Paul says, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." Giving is all about the attitude of our hearts. We are not to give under compulsion, pressure, or coercion from someone or circumstance. As believers, we are not to give based on demands of others. We are not to give impulsively or from a reluctant heart or attitude. We don't, nor should we give out a sense of duty or obligation. Giving is to be done from the heart voluntarily. Deuteronomy 15, we are told to give generously and do so without a grudging heart. "Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Why are we to give in this way? God loves a person who gives cheerfully. We need to be cheerful in our giving. When we understand our capacity to give is determined by God and not determined by ourselves, makes a huge difference in our attitude to giving. God is our source that causes us to be able to give cheerfully. Here's the fact we need to know. God has given to us everything we have, and because of God giving all we have, this is the only possibility for us to give it all. David said this in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." God loves a heart that gives with enthusiasm. Those who are thrilled with the pleasure of giving, in giving, as in all their areas of Christian living, God wants our hearts to respond to Him in obedience. He wants a sincere, willing, joyful, eager participation in His work, not grumbling or half-hearted or compliance. God has a unique, special love for those who are joyfully committed to generously and willingly giving. Some may say, "God doesn't need my money." First, as I've been saying, it's not our money. It's all God's. But He desires to do a work in our hearts. Have you ever seen someone do something for you or for someone else grudgingly? That is being done in the spirit of compulsion. Or have you seen someone give out of guilt? That's a horrible motivation. That is not good nor fair to do that to someone. God wants us, his followers, to be people who love to see good being done when there is an opportunity to bless others and to give to our Lord's ministry. This goes beyond money. And if you were to take out, though, an instrument that we would measure our hearts with in the area of the capacity of giving, you would know how quickly how things are going in your life and my life. Just as grace does in our lives, giving ultimately brings glory to God. Giving bears fruit and it blesses others, and it leads to people praising God. Just like when David and the leaders of Israel committed to give all they did to the Lord's temple to be built, they all burst out into praising God. One way to know if we are growing in our faith is if we give with a willing heart, with a glad heart, in response to God's goodness to us. If we are growing in our faith, giving should be a joy, not a job. God wants to cultivate in each of us a willing, cheerful, giving heart. Verses 8 and 9 applies to a willing and cheerful heart. Look at this with me, please. Starting in verse 8, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scriptures say. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." Paul uses the Old Testament for support, what he has been saying about the principles of giving willingly. He took it right out of Psalm 112. Through us willingly giving to the Lord's ministry and to those in need, God's righteous character is seen more clearly to those who are giving, and here's the key, and to those who are being blessed with the gift of giving. When we give willingly and generously, God blesses us with his grace. In the ESV, that's the English Standard Version of the Bible, verse 8 we read, "God is able to make every grace overflow to you." The word grace in the New Testament comes from the root word to rejoice. It means the absolutely free benefit or expression of loving kindness, deeds which cause joy and favor granted. God possesses an infinite amount of grace. He desires to give it to us generously. God holds nothing back when it comes to grace. As Ezra said, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you," referring to God. "And we have given God only what comes from his hand." God is able to make all grace abound to you and me. This means our Lord shows us a superabundance of kindness that will bring us great joy. God's superabundant grace includes all he can do for us and all we're unable to do for ourselves. His grace guides us when we are lost and provides for us when we are in need. His grace can heal relationships that are broken and grant peace where there is conflict. R.C. Sproul wrote this in his book, The Holiness of God. He says, "In 2 decades of teaching theology, I have had countless students ask me, why doesn't God save everybody? Only once did a student come to me and say, 'There is something I just can't figure out. Why did God redeem me?' We are not really surprised that God has redeemed us. Somewhere deep inside," he says, "in the secret chambers of our hearts, we harbor the notion that God owes us his mercy. Heaven would not quite be the same if we were excluded from it. We know that we are sinners, but we are surely not as bad as we could be. There are enough redeeming features to our personalities that if God is really just, he will include us in salvation. What amazes us is justice, not grace." And then he says this statement, "Our tendency is to take grace for granted." Grace in history and eternity is bigger than we could ever understand or comprehend. God's grace is like a river that never stops flowing. There's grace upon grace upon grace for each of us. His grace never runs dry. His grace is inexhaustible. Paul said this, And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The fruit of our service to God's work, the giving willingly, multiplies into greater benefit to us, greater blessings to others, and here's the key, it multiplies into greater glory to God. Look at verses 10 through 12 with me, please. Paul says, "For God is the only one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God." God is the source of what is planted, and he is the source of what is harvested. When we acknowledge this, there is a transformation that happens in our hearts and lives. We see that there is a sudden response of praise to God who provided all this. There's a twofold effect that comes from us giving willingly. The needs of others are supplied, and the expression of thanks is given to God. Too many times, we Americans read this section of Scripture and we think this: if I do this, God will give me this, material things, wealth, health, happiness. This is not biblical. God supplies to us so we can bless others and give to his work here in the U.S. and overseas. God's goal is that both the giver and the receiver are blessed. God is the ultimate supplier, and the expected response from us is a heart of thanksgiving and praise to God. Let me ask each of us a question. Do you and I want to impact lives? Do our actions show that ministry to others matters to us? Look at the results that will happen if the Corinthians give willingly to the ministry. Look at verses 13 and 14 with me, please. "As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace of God that has been given to you." God uses the Corinthians. They're giving willingly to the Christians in Jerusalem as a reminder of God's goodness and proof of God's provision and goodness. The ministry to these Jewish Christians resulted in them glorifying God for these generous gifts, the willing and cheerful attitude of the Corinthians to those with legitimate needs resulted in an overabundance of grace and blessing. It led to increased prayer and praise to God. It was almost like a revival broke out because of the willingness to give. Instantly, they were moved to giving praise to God. If we are obedient to God in our lives, this obedience can impact lives. Lives are changed. The obedience of the Corinthians to willingly give to this ministry was a test of their faith. Jewish believers doubted the validity of the Corinthians' salvation. They were skeptical of them because of all the issues their church had. The involvement of the Corinthians in this ministry removed all doubt that the Jewish believers had. Obedient submission to God's word is always the evidence to a true confession of Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Paul says this in Ephesians 2:20, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." James says this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? The way the Corinthians gave or didn't give was a test of their faith. As James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And John says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. It is important for us to be obedient to God in the area of willingly giving as God teaches in his word. As with the Corinthians, our responding willingly and participating in giving to the Lord's ministry and to those in need demonstrates that we are true followers of Christ. The other result that happens out of the willingness of the Corinthians to give, prayer broke out for the Corinthians by the Jewish Christians. This happened just because of their willingness to give, to be obedient to God and his word. Their willingness to give had life-changing impacts, both on the Jewish Christians and them as well. This brought unity between the two groups of Christians. God was at work in the Corinthians. God was at work in the Macedonians. Their generosity was evident that God was working in them in a special way. This illustrates a truth for all Christians. The truth that if we, who are followers of Jesus, are authentic, prayer is at the heart of all we are, and prayer brings unity between believers. I go back to the question I asked before. Do you and I want to impact lives? Do we truly desire that? Is that what our actions and obedience to God shows others? Are you and I truly followers of Christ? Look at Paul's response in the last part of verse 14 and verse 15. He says, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible, his indescribable gift. Paul was overwhelmed by God's gift. He was lost for words, beyond description of what God has done in the lives of the Macedonians and the Corinthians. Their willingness to give was a work of God in their lives, both the Macedonians and the Corinthians. The way they responded to God should be our natural way that we respond to God in willingly giving to his ministry and to those in need. Paul compares the believer's act of giving to what God did in giving Jesus Christ to us. He said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God's inexpressible gift is like a kernel of wheat falling to the ground. God sacrificed his son so that many could be saved. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The surpassing grace of God that Paul referred to. God's inexpressible gift through his son Jesus makes it possible for believers to joyfully, sacrificially, and abundantly sow and reap. As we give in this manner, we show forth Christ's likeness. Paul said this in Ephesians 5, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The greatest gift we could ever receive is salvation through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. The reason we should embrace the privilege of willingly giving is out of our love and thankfulness for all that God has already provided for us. Just as God had blessed David with many good things, God has blessed each of us with many good things. What is our attitude toward the things you and I have? Are you and I willing to give anything we have to help in God's work? Are we thankful for all that God has given us? Are our hearts filled with joy and thanksgiving as we willingly give to others? Will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you for all you have given to us, way beyond what we can imagine And when we get to eternity, we may realize some, but we still won't realize it all. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, you have given us a precious gift. A gift that is so wonderful, that has blessed us in so many ways, and that will live with you forever in heaven. You sacrificed your son. You held nothing back. And we know, Lord Jesus, you desire for us to give willingly as well. Willingly to your work, your ministry, to those that need to hear about Christ, and to your work, to meeting the needs of those that are lost as well, here and around the world. So I pray, Father, that you continue to stir our hearts, and that we would give willingly out of an act of thankfulness, and out of grace, and out of just being blessed because all that you've done for each one of us. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' precious and powerful and wonderful name, amen.